the question of the separation of those and that type of thing? Okay.
In other words, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the verses as many as I have time.
Sure.
And see how it's used, what kinds of words it's used with. You know, I'm going to plot out the frequency on the graph as far as frequency with or without preposition, with or without article, et cetera.
Okay.
The frequency chart for starters.
Okay.
See how
the sentence is going. Be interesting. All right. I tentatively mentioned, for anybody that came in late, that we're looking, I'm tentatively looking at a minimum of 10 pages, maximum 20 pages type of ballpark for the paper. But I will grant exemptions when, you know, under dire.
Right?
Yes.
Do we need to sign this for today?
No, you don't need to worry about that. Just use that to bring that up to date. And then sign in the rule book, because that'll be the end of this little sheet. Okay, there's one more comment. I think Eric asked me yesterday about this quiz coming up on Thursday on these principal parts and whether or not you need to learn the forms that are in parentheses that do not occur in the New Testament. There's a couple of those in this first section that you have, and the answer is don't worry about those. You won't be required to know the ones that are in parentheses. And that includes, under ago, the perfect active, echa, is a form that's in parentheses, so it's not in the New Testament. Don't need to worry about that one. Then akuo, the middle perfect middle and passive, akusmai, you don't need to worry about. Since you're never going to run into it, unless you study classical Greek or something. Today is 22nd. So our quiz is the 24th, the day after tomorrow. Okay. So I just wanted to clarify that in case there's any problem with it.
Yeah, I get carried away.
Well, he's just doing it by foreknowledge. Or by faith. Presumably by faith. Yeah. In his own Greek class. Huh? Okay. I want to continue translating for a while here so we can get a little caught up here. We've been slowed down here with Dana and Manti. In Dana and Manti, the next thing we're going to cover is the articles. If you want to read ahead on the section on the article, you may feel free to do so. We may start that tomorrow. We'll see how this translating goes. I'd like to get through chapter 3 of John, and then we'll start skipping around in the Gospel of John, skipping around the New Testament. Yes?
Would you like to read tomorrow?
Oh, yes. As far as your reading is concerned, I haven't really talked about that, maintaining it, but I think it'd still be a good idea. I'm not going to, you know, make it a formal requirement this semester because we've got so many other things to do. But it's always a wise practice. And in your own readings, try to spread out, too. Don't just stay with John now. Just launch out. Pick a part in Hebrews or pick something in Revelation or pick something in the Pauline epistles. And keep practicing that just for your own benefit. But you needn't consider that a formal assignment now. In other words, on the test, I won't be asking you that. We've got plenty of other things to do. And, of course, in class, since we're going to be doing a lot of it in class now, and you'll be reading out loud in class, it'll be abundantly obvious whether you've been practicing or not. Okay. We left off around John chapter 2 and verse 23, I believe is the next verse up. So we'll start with there with John if you'd like, and just go around the room as normal. I'd like to get through chapter 3 today if we can, but we'll see how it goes. John 2 and verse 23.
Post Dane and Tois Jerusalem Lumois and To Pasca and Te Heorte Poloi Epistusan Esto Orma Autu Daurontes Autu Tasamea.
Okay. Supposed to be like or as. Okay. In this context, you might want to translate it. It's something like the temporal modifiers in Hebrew that begin with kaf. You know, you might translate it when in this case. But it's as or while or something of that nature.
And I'm pretty much not an expert. Well, he was in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
In the Passover.
Mm-hmm. It means a festival or feast. In the feast. In other words, it's an apposition.
Passover,
yeah.
Feast.
Yeah. Right, it's interesting, a separate phrase with another preposition, you know. So you have two prepositional phrases in apposition, which is interesting.
In Jerusalem?
Oh, yeah, in Jerusalem, in the Passover, in the feast, yeah. That's a good point.
Plural, is it much or all?
Yes, much or many. It depends, since it's a plural form nominative, it would be many. Many. In other words, it's referring to people here, so
okay.
He was translated many.
Many were believing into his name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's just an aorist, so you're probably just trying to say believed into his name.
Believed into his name.
Right.
That's the participle of
mm-hmm.
El Reo.
Right.
I suppose, but
yeah.
I don't remember what that
means. Means to behold. Behold. Seeing, viewing.
Okay, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a modifier. The ones beholding him.
Mm-hmm.
Beholding his signs, and I would suppose. Signs
and your how's a relative pronoun tying it to Tasemea? Believing the signs of him or his signs.
His signs. That
right.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, that he did, yeah. Or that he was doing. There is a imperfect form there. Yeah. So beholding the signs that he was doing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why is Jerusalem far?
Oh,
Jerusalem?
Yeah, yeah. This may have to, in the Hebrew, it's Yerushalayim, which is a dual form, which is kind of like a plural. It's like there's two. And I think the reasoning is that the city probably was originally two cities that formed one, or one city with satellite cities. That's the way a lot of these ancient cities were. They were a major city, and then they had other ones around them. So that's the thinking that I've heard on that. But the form is plural, yeah, and it's not really many Jerusalems, but it's from the Hebrew. The Hebrew had a plural idea to it, too.
It's like the same thing like a majesty or something?
Well, I'm not sure so much if it's majesty I suppose there may be a certain kind of sense to it. It's kind of a composite, you know, term to describe not only the cities proper, but the suburbs and you know, as we might think of it. A greater Jerusalem, maybe, I don't know. But I'm not aware of any singular use used, you know. In other words, that's the form that you do see. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, John?
It is plural, then, so I was just finding another place here, and it says, Yerushalayim.
Uh-huh, that's, okay.
Well, it's kind of
well, you may see it in Greek, it may seem, maybe it may appear in both forms. In Hebrew, it's just in, you know,
oh, right.
Yerushalayim.
You're talking about Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Then, do you have another spot there that you're looking at, John?
That's the problem. Is that it's, of course, it's irregular.
Yeah.
That's Acts. I just moved through it. I found one in Acts 9:20.
May have to look up that word and see how they could decline it too. Because my parsing guy doesn't, you know, give the noun, so don't have it handy here.
Possibly it could refer to. Upper Jerusalem and Lower Jerusalem since they split the city.
Mm-hmm. That's possible too. There's a number of ways of looking at that. There is this dualistic idea though in Hebrew, and that's probably what's being reflected here. Now, if it's used in the singular also in Greek, then it may be that they're emphasizing different aspects of it by that time. In other words, as Mark said, there may be a distinction between upper and lower and so forth. Yes.
Well, I was wondering if there's any possibility because it goes. Right in the fact that many believed in his name, it's talking about the people, whether this could be referring to the Jerusalemites, you know, like the people.
Mm-hmm.
Plural,
yeah, the people in Jerusalem.
Like in the midst of the Jerusalemites.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not sure if it's used that way or not, but it's they're not translating it that way here. I guess one would just have to do a study on that word to see what kind of connotations it has. I don't recall seeing anything on it. just trying to find the word again someplace here to see if it's used in the singular. See, the question might be whether we're just transliterating this thing, but the fact that we've got a plural form here, and if we have a singular form elsewhere, that seems to suggest that we're probably talking about, here's Jesus in and around Jerusalem and the vicinity and so forth. And
Okay.
That Acts 26 one is.
Yeah, that just looks like a.
It says A's Jerusalem.
Okay. Oh my. Yeah. Well, there's a study for somebody to do just on the word itself. All I can tell you is that the Hebrew does have a dual ending on it. And so it's thought to be either a combination of other cities, or if in the New Testament you see it both ways, then you're probably looking at some distinction that they had in mind within the New Testament. Does anybody have a... Okay, if anybody comes up with that, Eric, if anybody runs into something on that, please let us know. Okay, and anyone else with a question on verse 23? We do see this epoie there, third person singular imperfect. We don't see very many imperfects in the New Testament. But emphasizing progressive aspect now, of course. All right, verse 24, Eric. Okay. All right, we'll see what we can do.
The very Jesus did not believe him to them for this reason, or for this very he knew them.
Okay. Okay, this is kind of interesting. Because we got an infinitive down here in this last clause, and you have an accusative for the subject of the infinitive as well as an accusative for the object of it. So, to our tone there, because he knew them, or he was knowing them, because, you know, because of his knowing them, you might see be the maybe a more literal translation. This first area, the very Jesus or Jesus himself, you might say, autos de Jesus. Remember when you use autos with a noun this way, it's got this idea of the same or the very. And the de is just postpositive, so it's kind of breaking this up, but it's just because of its function. So he was, now this next phrase though, so, but Jesus himself was not, and this epistuen, because of the auton there, and then to them, was not entrusting himself to them. You might say auton, it's almost reflexive here because of the fact that auton's in the accusative. You have this subject, Jesus, and he was not, you know, it's not really, he's not believing himself to them, but it's entrusting himself to them. In other words, the word, when it's used this way, is translated entrusting, or, you know, he wasn't putting confidence in them. In other words, he wasn't placing himself in a position of confidence to them. So, but Jesus himself is not entrusting himself to them because of his knowing them, or because he, you know, loosely you could translate because he knew them, but that's not very good literal, because you could just as easily use a finite verb form there. But this is using an infinitive, so it's something like because of his knowing them, because of the fact that he knew them, something like that. The whole thing is being set off, the verbal idea is being set off as a noun concept with the infinitive. So the auton there is the subject of the infinitive, and then pontos is the object of that infinitive, both of them in the accusative case. And you have to go by context to decide which is subject, of course.
You're translating that pontos as them.
Right. Maybe. All them, yeah, something like all, yeah, because he knew all. Mm-hmm. He knew all, literally. Yeah, it's all them, all those ones. Okay, because, you know, in other words, it could be, well, since it's a masculine accusative form, then you're going to have it, you knew all them, all the persons that he's referring to in the context. If it was just Ponta, it would be he knew all things, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Can you find me again? I'm trying to. Okay. Every time you say it, it sounds right, but then I look
okay.
It doesn't fit.
All right. And you mean you want a translation of it? Okay. All right. So it's because of the knowing of him, of them, is kind of the idea. In other words, his knowing them, because of his knowing them. Loosely, I think King James says because he knew them. He knew all them. But literally, it's because we've got the knowing here. The idea of gnoskein is infinitive. So because of his knowing them, because of the fact that he knew them, that's the idea that you're looking at. So it's not really easy to translate into our idiom, because we would not use an infinitive in a case like this. We would not say because of his to know them or something like that. But the literal is, you know, because through him to know them and to know all them.
What's the aspect and why? Is it just their idiom, or because it seems like they could just use finite form because he knew them. But is there more to it there, or if they wanted a progressive, they could use a participle form?
Yeah.
Because he is knowing them, or is there more there?
Well, let me just double check something here. Apparently there's okay. Both of these texts have the same. It's just a present infinitive, so you have the idea of a progressive aspect. You could get it even more graphic, you know, I suppose, with the participle. But I think what we're looking at is the ground and the basis behind it, and it's not really, with it using the infinitive, you're not so much zeroing in and living through that, but it's just dealing with this fact because of the fact that he is knowing them. And it's a slightly different emphasis. I'm not sure how you would describe it.
Right.
I think the emphasis is on the cause, the emphasis on the fact that this is the ground for it, and this is the reason why, and we're not really trying to zero in on that action per se and try to live that out, as it were.
With the progressive, if you use the participle, would it give the idea that of increasing in knowledge of them, learning?
It would take you more into it and say because he was knowing them, you know, it's kind of the idea of a progressive was coming to know them, knowing them more and more and that type of thing. This gives you more of an abstract idea. It's like he didn't really need to come to know any more about them. He knew them.
It's almost a state of sense.
Mm-hmm.
State of being, of knowing them.
Yeah. I think that's more the picture. It's more of a state of conceptual thing rather than something that's really in progress. It is a present infinitive, so there's a certain kind of progressive aspect to it. But I think that's more the progressive aspect of he's being in the state and abiding in it, yeah, continuing in the state of knowing them, rather than having some sort of increasing knowledge of them.
I would have almost expected epigenosis.
Yeah, you might have, yeah. Okay. But again, there doesn't seem to be a lot of great strong emphasis on this point. It seems to be, you know, just a matter of fact. It's quite a matter of fact that he knew them. Knew all them. And knew them all, you might say. Okay, verse 25 then. Anybody else have a question on any part of the structure there? Okay. Glenn, verse 25.
I hope you inasmuch as they say that into Anthropu, Anthos, God, Epic, God. Ginoskin.
Right.
T-A-N-N, so Anthropu.
Okay.
and that not, what?
Crayon.
Crayon means, yeah. No, it means a need.
Oh, and he did not have need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a class, but I don't know. I can't remember what it means.
In order that, yeah, be good here. This is kind of an indefinite pronoun here. So you might translate it anyone or someone, something like that. Anyone might be the best.
Anyone. I don't get how you get witness. In order anyone to witness.
That's fine. Or bearing witness or something like that.
According to man.
Okay.
Wait.
Peri to, you know, peri with a genitive would be something like a concerning or about, concerning man.
I got all the words, but it didn't make sense.
Okay.
And he did not have need in order that, he would not be witnessed by any man or something like, according to man.
Okay.
Let me finish the rest.
All right.
This is a comma, right?
And then, right.
For he was he was known.
He knew or was knowing. It's an imperfect form, so.
He was.
You might also translate this. He knew what was in man.
Oh, he knew. What?
Yeah, T translated as what here. It's neuter and so...
He knew what was in...
Man.
Man.
Yeah, in the man.
The man.
And you're using the article in both places. Right. It's kind of talking in the man. In other words, he's not specifying any particular man here, but he's really talking about mankind and setting that thing aside as a concept. So he knew what was in the man. Okay. In the creature called man. Okay, it might be translated something like this, and he was not having need in order that anyone should bear witness about man, for he knew what was in man.
Is that a subjunctive?
Yes, it's a subjunctive form, the bearing witness.
Anyone might.
Yeah, you got a hin out with a subjunctive here, so in order that anyone might bear witness, or might. That anyone might bear witness. Huh?
Yeah, that's...
Okay. So he was not having need that in order that anyone should bear witness or might bear witness about the man, for he was knowing what was in the man. He knew what was in man.
Well, is that the man, and then according to the man, Perry John Thorpe, is that they're referring to him as a man?
Well, that's a good question. Just it may involve that. In other words, it sounds like Jesus did not sense a need to have human beings bear witness about him, because he knew what was in man. In other words, and he didn't need fleshly support because he knew what that was worth.
It goes the other way too, that man in the general sense is in the same sense as Jesus at the end.
Uh-huh.
That he didn't need anybody to witness to him about men because he already knew them.
Right. That's the point, that you know it's a little bit ambiguous what's in their mind. And in other words, he didn't have to have somebody come and tell him what men were like. He knew all about it too. So the way it's set off here is a little bit hard to specify one way or the other. Of course, that's a matter of theology now. It's not a matter of the Greek here, because the Greek can go both ways. Okay. New World just translates it, and because he was in no need to have anyone bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Okay. And then it's tying to verse 24. Jesus was not entrusting himself to them because his knowing them, and he was not having need to bear witness about man, for he knew what was in man. Or that anyone bear witness about man. Okay. So the fact that anyone is being used here to bear witness about man, it seems to suggest that it's bearing witness about themselves to him, or that... in other words, he's not entrusting himself to them. He's not letting them in on all the details of everything that's going on. He doesn't need their advice. You know, he doesn't need them to inform him. Well, Messiah, if you're here to save man, let's tell you what, you know, you ought to do, and this is the way you ought to approach the Pharisees, and this is the way you ought to approach the Sadducees, and so forth. He already knew what was in man. Now, I'm not certain that that's the sense it's a theological matter, so we'll have to leave that question for the theologians here. And so you, when you get into grad class, you can do that one. Okay? Now, chapter 3, verse 1. And Tony, do you want to take that one?
Pharisees.
Right.
And I was just
Yeah, it's kind of an absolute here. It's one of those nominative absolutes with a name. And then name to him, Nicodemus. So it's just, it's one of those nominative absolute constructions we've seen before. Okay, yeah, back to Greek English.
A ruler of the Jews.
Right, a ruler of the Jews. Okay. And that's also another nominative phrase there, archon. Even though it's omega nu there, that's a third declension noun, so that one's nominative. And then of the Jews, of course, is genitive plural. So there was, but there was, or and there was, or now there was, depending on how you take this de here. It's continuing the narrative, in other words. So, and there was a man out of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, his name, or the name to him, Nicodemus, and a ruler of the Jews.
Is there any way that day could be taken in contrast?
It could be, but there was. It's possible. You have to, it would not be as strong a contrast. It wouldn't be like Allah, where you have a real strong, obvious contrast. It seems to be following the narrative, but I see your point because of the fact that he's talking about man here and not needing the witness of man. But there was this fellow, you know.
Yeah, this one fellow.
Yeah. That may be a possibility. It's not strong, though. Yes, Jim?
Is it also a possibility instead of there, that he was a man?
Oh, but he was a man meaning...
he was...
Well, it could be he, she, or it, or there was. You know, it depends on what the context is and if the subject is stated. Now, I suppose you could take Nicodemus and pull that over and make it the subject. Although, because of the way the phrase is set up, Nicodemus onoma to auto, you almost have to leave that separate. So you're almost understanding Nicodemus as the subject. You know, Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees. But you probably just want to say there was a man. You know, it was. In other words, all I was just saying is he, she, or it was a man out of the Pharisees. And you could think of it as he, but in English, now, see, the problem is in Greek it doesn't really make any difference which way you do it. It's just ain. And then you find out what the ain is referring to when you see Nicodemus there. So it's kind of left indefinite until you get to Nicodemus. And in English, the way we do that is, there was a man. It's almost a predication of existence, first of all. And, there, you know, you're introducing an individual, and you first say there was a man, and then this was his name. So the subject really is Nicodemus, really, but it's not really specified until later. You leave it indefinite until you come to that. So in English, the way we do that is say, there was a man, and then Nicodemus by name.
Just a minor side point, but do they have a...
Not like Hebrew, you know. In other words,
a separate form, but perhaps a like this.
Yeah, this is probably a construction that's parallel to that, mm-hmm. using the verb to be. Yeah, and even in Hebrew, when they want to go in the past, they'll use hayah for the same kind of construction. Okay, verse 2, Mark.
Kutos elfen pros auton nutos kai ipen auto rabbi oidamen hoti apostu u ele luthas didaskalos udesgar dunatai tauta ta tonea poein ha tu poes ean me a hotheos met autu.
Okay. Good.
This one came to him in a nighttime kind of arrival and
mm-hmm.
said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher having been
It is from Erkamai.
Having come from God.
Right. Yeah, it's a perfect form, so you probably don't recognize it. But it's a second person singular, second perfect active. In other words, an irregular perfect.
And just that eight is irregular.
Right. Yeah.
Having come from God, no one is able
right.
to be doing the sign which you are doing
right.
unless God is with him.
Okay, good.
Unless there's a negative in there.
Yeah. Yeah, you really got it, though. That's what makes it unless. No, in other words, if God is not with him or something, if God might not be with him or unless God be with him. So you can say unless God be with him, and be might be a good translation because it's kind of subjunctive in English. This is a subjunctive form in Greek. So unless God be with him or no one's able to do these signs if God not be with him. If not, God be with him, something like that. So unless is really a good translation of it. So the aeon may is coming out as unless. The aeon plus the may. Good. Okay. So, again, this one came toward him in a nighttime fashion, you know, nightly. Not nightly in the sense of every night, but in a night kind of way. By night is the way the King James translates it. But it's a genitive, so it's emphasizing that quality of the kind of coming. So he came toward him at night, by night, and said to him, Rabbi, We know that you have come. You are a teacher we have known that from God you have come a teacher. Or you are a teacher. You as a teacher have come from God. You might say that you as a teacher have come from God, something of that nature. And for no one is able to do these signs which you are doing. Unless, or if God not be with him. Any questions? Yes, go ahead.
I noticed that he's alone, but he's in a plural that we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's obviously speaking from his own standpoint. And right, yeah. Speaking from the standpoint of the Pharisees, yeah.
He's condemning all Pharisees at that point, isn't he? Embracing all the Pharisees
knowing. Well, in effect, yes. Yeah, we have known. Yeah, he's making a testimony in the bath of all of them. We know that you're a teacher from God. So his own words would stand up in judgment later on after they crucified him. Okay, at least the rest of them, of course, Nicodemus is speaking from the right perspective. All right. Now, there might be some other Pharisees in the crowd saying, no, don't include me. You know, if he was speaking, if he wasn't by himself here, they might not agree. Okay, verse 3. Over to Price. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus answered and said to him, and King James says, verily, verily, isn't that long? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amen. Yeah, sure, it's the same amen. It means
truth.
Yeah, but so be it. You know, yeah, but it's used adverbially. That's why they get, it's because it's in an adverbial function here. You're saying truly, truly, or verily, verily means the same thing, truly.
So,
okay, that's fine. We'll accept that.
I say to you, if not one is born from above, not he is able to see the kingdom of God.
Okay, good. There's a subjunctive here, and if one is not, if there's not, anyone should be generated or born from above. He's not able to see the kingdom of God. Yes, right. Yeah, it's an aorist passive subjunctive form, from genao, to be generated. So if one is not generated passive from above, and it's subjunctive, even though it is a an aorist. Of course, remember, your aorist is not giving time value here in the subjunctive, it's giving aspect. And it's implying that this generation process is not an evolutionary thing over a long period of time, but it's something, if someone is not generated from above, not is he able to see the kingdom of God.
And since we've got this me'u and aeon and subjunctive as absolute, right? I mean, it's, there is absolutely no possibility.
Right. Yeah. That aeon may, you don't have the may construction per se, but it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar, because you...
I think we're talking about the aeon may with subjunctive.
Mm-hmm.
And since subjunctive is possibility.
Yeah, it's eliminating the possibility. Yeah, there's no possibility, right? So it's effectively doing the same thing, yes.
I see this, I mean, sort of subconsciously a lot, and I notice it again, like, in the previous sentence, Nicodemus says that, you know, aeon may, unless is from God. And then Jesus turns around, and you imagine him saying it. It's sort of separated by words here, but Jesus turns around and says, aeon may to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like he's sort of comparing, well, except otherwise you're from God, and except otherwise, you know.
Mm-hmm. Using similar linguistic structure.
Are they actually using like some kind of wordplay? I mean, is that common in Greek to do that?
Well, I think it may be more common in ancient cultures, the way they played on language. You'll see it in the Old Testament, you see it in the New Testament. You see playing on the constructions and kind of reversing things, the whole kind of a riddle mentality, you know, of playing on words this way and playing on word constructions and so forth. And Jesus sometimes does this by, you know, they ask him a question and he throws a question right back at them and reaches for a deeper spiritual truth that will ultimately resolve the kind of question they're asking. He's not really being irrelevant to what they're saying. He's getting to the point that they're not aware of. But you do find that. You find it in the Old Testament, you know, where it says, go to, let us go and build us a tower, it's over, and then God says, go to, let us go down, and just responds with the same kind of a phraseology. That's not unusual at all. In the prophets, sometimes, too, the people will say certain things, and the prophet will retort by, you know, is sometimes even taking the same phraseology or even a word that they used and pick another word that sounds the same and refer it back to them, you know, in a different way. There's a lot of that kind of thing that goes on. And those things you miss by the translations in English. That's one of the things, that there's a color and a vibrancy, you might say, that's coming out of it when you see it in the Greek and you see these kinds of parallels. So I think it's a good observation in general. And it doesn't mean that in every instance they're purposely doing that, just to set that up, but there are times when somebody's asking, especially in these question-answer types of situations, Jesus is very good at that. We'll see this quite frequently. Okay. Any other questions there? Well, we're getting good exposure here to hina clauses and use of subjunctive. And you'll see the subjunctive is not just an isolated thing in the New Testament. It's very frequent. Optative you're not going to see very much, but subjunctive you'll see very frequently. Okay. So, and part of the reason is because you're dealing with a lot of hypotheticals. You're dealing with a lot of if this, then this. You know, you're dealing with conditionals a lot. Much of the New Testament is conditional. It's setting a covenant before you, you know, and setting up conditions. Same thing's true in the Old Testament, too, of course, but they have a different way of constructing it. Verse 4, Dale.
They gave prosato, Nicodemus, post, dunitai, anthropos, genethei, nai, geron, kon, or on, ne dunitai, eston, koilaion, es metros, auto, duetron.
Yeah, deuteron.
Deuteron. It's
all vain,
kai,
okay. You got some good ones here.
Yeah. Nicodemus is saying towards him, how is a man able to be generated being old?
Right.
Is that old or elderly?
Old, elderly, I suppose either way. We get our word geriatrics from this, geritol, you know, old, geron, okay?
No one is able...
You might make this less indefinite, just say he is not able. Now, it's not. There's no tis involved here, so just say he is not able...
He is not able to enter... into the womb. Mm-hmm. I think the word is cavity.
Yeah, cavity. It means the, in this context, the womb.
Yeah.
Right.
Of the woman a second time, and I don't recognize Aethel saying.
Okay, to enter. This means to, it's from Eltane is from Erkomai, the aorist form of that, and Ace is into, so enter into.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Enter into the womb of the woman
mm-hmm.
being generated or born.
Right, and be generated. Okay, good, real good. Yeah, this Genethenai, of course, is the passive infinitive there for being generated, and aorist passive infinitive. And what else did I want to point out here? Oh, this dunatai, we've seen it several times. What kind of a form would you call dunatai? Anybody? This is a little tricky.
You're talking about an auxiliary verb?
Yeah, it's an auxiliary verb, and it's that one of those oddball verbs with its declension is really nasty. So this actually is a present form of the...
Deponent.
It's deponent, yeah. It's a passive-like form, but... That dunatai is just, you know, remember that, they had to give you even a footnote for a special paradigm for that. It's not even like a me verb quite. It's kind of like a me verb, it's kind of like this and kind of like that. It's kind of like a lot of things. So dunamai is the original form. So it's just one, you'll see it frequently enough, so I don't think it'll cause you much trouble, but it's just a bit unusual as far as the paradigm. Yes?
When I was going over this, and I looked at my gay process home,
mm-hmm.
he was saying towards...
Yes,
toward him.
Uh-huh.
To me, it was a picture of an intimacy. He was looking directly at him
mm-hmm.
and speaking directly towards him, and not, you know, just a...
Yeah. It's got more directional sense to it, because often they can just say, spoke to him. No, spoke to him, I mean, just using the dative.
Yeah.
But to use pros there, it does give you more of a connotation that it's really directed. And I mean, his whole attention is focused on this thing. It does give you a different picture, a stronger picture, very definitely. And of course, if a person is going to, you know, this word pros has obviously got this directional intent to it. You wouldn't translate this, he said with him, you know, but he said toward him. Okay. That is good. It's good to note that. You get the feeling as you're reading it. You know, he says this toward him, you know, it's really directed, it's really focused. It's like it's, you know, loads up the arrow and the bow and shoots it right toward him, you know. Okay. This Genethena, I think I mentioned, is a passive infinitive. There is passive infinitive. Any other questions on any of the construction there? I think it's just, yeah, it's probably just an adverb. Being old, how would we? Probably just an adjective. It'd probably be just a predicate adjective in this case. See, like an old man or something, being old. So I would class it as, the whole thing is functioning adverbially, but the word itself would probably be classified as an adjective and a predicate adjective specifically here. Someone might want to look it up and see what the whole paradigm for it is. It's probably just a third declension type adjective, like sophron or what any others, the omega nu type. So I would just classify it as a nominative form opposite to own there and in apposition to man. See, a man being old. Okay, anybody else? Now, you might check that just out of curiosity, see if it's... I can't really see how it would fit any other way, but as an adjective. Okay, we've got 5 more minutes. Did you find it there, Glenn?
Jerome also called an old man.
Okay.
So it's...
That's the same kind of construction, except it's using ontos. Okay, but they've done it there with, they've substantivized it there. So they put Hogeron?
Hogeron and Gerontos would be together.
Okay. So it's being used both.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Geron, Ontos, okay.
Yeah.
They're making this.
So they're using
They're setting it up as a noun then. Okay. The Senate Assembly of Elders. The old ones, as it were. Okay. For Senate, it's Hey Garosia, the old guys. The old one. It's interesting. Okay, they don't really list it as an adjective per se, so it may not be used that way. Yeah, just listing it as a noun. So we just take this as a noun and might translate this being an old man then, being an old one, rather than just being old. It depends on how the word's used. It could easily be used as an adjective, but apparently it's not. Okay. Any other questions there? Okay, that brings us to verse 5, and who's up next? Steve.
I'm trying to say, this is a name that goes away. Yan made two Ganese.
Okay.
Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one be born out of water and spirit, he is not able.
Okay. Yeah, again, it's an infinitive aselfainment. Okay, good. Yeah, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I'm saying to you, if ever not, or unless one should be generated, unless one is generated out of water and spirit, he's not able to enter into the kingdom of God. Lots of good constructions here. We're getting our infinitives, we're getting our subjunctives, and so forth. It's good, very good. Lesson for us here as far as the use of these things. Anybody else with a question here? Yes.
I'm just looking at the variant out of the kingdom of the heavens.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what do we got there for manuscript authority? The original Aleph apparently is different from the corrector. And B, P66 and 75 is pretty good authority there. 66 especially, I think that one's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, Ur-Anon's only got Aleph. That's about the only thing worth mentioning. Yeah. No. Really. Yeah. I'm surprised they even put this one down in here. Lots of times they won't if it's so overwhelming. Okay. Verse 6, Dale. Okay. Having come, you might say, this is from Genao still, and so you might have, say, the one having been generated. It's a perfect participle, a perfect passive participle from Genao. So you have to watch, because Genomai and Genao can easily get mixed up. So this one's from Genao. One of the things to watch for is the presence of two nus. And the roots that are from Genao generally have two nus, and the ones that are from Genomai have one. That's why monogenes is class. It comes from Genomai rather than from Genao. Monogenes, the oath there, it's from Genomai, the one who having become, and that removes the necessity for looking at that as involving generation. Whereas here, of course, it's from Genao. So the one having been generated, passive, perfect. It's what's done in the past and has a present result. Okay, we'll have to stop there and. Tomorrow we'll do a little bit more of this and then start with talking about the article. Thursday we'll have that quiz on the principal parts in Getchus. So if you don't, does everybody have the ones marked down that we're going to, did everybody get that information? Okay.